Hello, podcast listeners. A few announcements before the episode. Beau Willimon, creator of the Netflix sensation House of Cards, will be joining Austin Film Festival at 2 p.m. Saturday, February 22nd at the Harry Ransom Center in Austin. Only 1 week after the season 2 premiere on Netflix, we sit down with Willimon for a deeper look into the process of creating House of Cards, delving into the world of political power struggles, and his journey through the second season of the show. For more info, go to austinfilmfestival.com or call 512-478-4795. Join Austin Film Festival, Chris Lowell, and Mohit Narang for a free live script reading of their second feature, Isolation Tribes. That's 7 p.m. Tuesday, March 4th, 2014, at the Clay Pit in Austin. Chris Lowell and Mohit Narang won the Jury Award and the Audience Award for their first feature, Beside Still Waters, at the 20th Austin Film Festival. Chris Lowell is known for his appearances in the Oscar-nominated films The Help and Up in the Air, as well as the forthcoming Veronica Mars movie, and the TV shows Private Practice, Veronica Mars, and Enlisted. This reading is free and open on a first-come RSVP basis. That's 7 p.m. Tuesday, March 4th, 2014, at the Clay Pit in Austin. Go to claypit.com or austinfilmfestival.com or call 512-478-4795 to find out more. Love the On Story podcasts? Pick up a copy of the On Story book today for advice and inspiration from today's leading filmmakers. On Story, Screenwriters and Their Craft, is a must-read for all screenwriters and film fans. Find it on Amazon or austinfilmfestival.com. And don't forget to search Austin Film Festival in the iTunes store to rate and review this program. Today, on Austin Film Festival's On Story podcast, Veronica Mars creator, Rob Thomas.
The Kickstarter notion was the Hail Mary pass. I felt like one way or the other that was going to answer whether there would ever be a Veronica Mars movie.
With actor Chris Lowell.
What's so crazy about the film is that, you know, you think like, well, 2 million will be a bunch of people in a house, but 5 million, explosions, and, you know, like hovercraft and stuff, and that's just not the case.
Veronica Mars ran first on UPN and later the CW from 2004 to 2007. Kristen Bell played the title character in this serialized mystery whose cult following grew in the years since it had been on the air. To finance the Veronica Mars movie, Kristen Bell and Rob Thomas launched a Kickstarter on March 13, 2013, attaining their $2 million goal in less than 10 hours and $5.7 million over the course of the campaign. Production on the Veronica Mars feature began June 17, 2013, and the film is set to be released in March 2014. This episode was recorded at the 20th Austin Film Festival on Saturday, October 26, 2013, and cast member Chris Lowell joins Rob Thomas later in the conversation.
The movie went great. It was harrowing. I think there are probably smart ways to do a $5.7 million movie, and I chose none of them. A movie at that budget, you really need to think small. We should have limited the number of cast members and the number of locations, certainly the number of extras, and we did none of that. It is a sprawling $5.7 million movie. You know, we've got big set pieces with, you know, 100-plus extras in them. Many of you are filmmakers, and I think you have an idea of what that means. It means that we didn't get a lot of takes of things, you know. We were running and gunning. We shot 115 pages in 23 days. There are some winners in the movie. There are things where I hope you like take one, two, or three, because there is, you know, I'm really happy with the results. I waited to write the script until into the Kickstarter campaign, when we started having an idea of where we might land budgetarily, because if we had just inched over that $2 million goal on the last day, it would have been a very different movie. And I started thinking about five, you know, after probably the first week of that might be where we landed. And so it was still probably way too ambitious, but I felt like I could go a little bigger and, you know, have a high school reunion in it. The tough thing about it is if you have a high school reunion and you only have 8 extras in it, you know, it looks ridiculous. It looks like, because of the rules on when we could have our Kickstarter backer extras, the people who had paid $2,000 or $2,500 or something like that to be extras, is we had to have them on the big days because we have to have a certain number of paid extras out of the union, and then we can bring in our Kickstarter backers. And those were such fun days on sets, because if you've worked in the business for a while and you've worked around extras, they're not the most enthusiastic people in the world. This is not what they wanted to do for a living, and so you've got very bored people sort of ambling from one place to the other. I know that the Kickstarter backers who came in as extras were excited because it was all over their faces. I wish you all could have seen, and I'm sure there will be some of it in the making of the movie documentary that we'll have. Our actors were so excited about the Kickstarter backers, and people would come in on their days off to be around when the Kickstarter backers were there and hang out. And I think we were all so amazed that we were actually getting to do this. We wanted to revel in it with people who were having as much fun as us.
Rob Thomas and Chris Lowell talk crowdfunding and enlisting their Kickstarter backers as extras in the Veronica Mars feature film.
Warner Brothers owns the Veronica Mars title. There was no other game in town. I could not go out and sell it elsewhere. It needed to be a Warner Brothers movie, and Warner Brothers generally is in the business of making big movies, and Veronica Mars didn't quite fit that paradigm. And so I spent a number of years, you know, working, you know, off and on to try to convince people that it could be a movie. Never successfully. The Kickstarter notion was the Hail Mary pass. I felt like one way or the other that was going to answer whether there would ever be a Veronica Mars movie. And understandably, trying to convince, you know, a big company to try a new way of doing business was a long road. There were many fans of the project over at Warner Brothers who heard it and immediately thought, that sounds great. And there were some that required some convincing. And happily, we had some champions over at Warner Brothers who eventually, you know, helped push that boulder up the hill. And certainly, you know, we raised $5.7 million on Kickstarter, and that's huge in terms of financing. But I would say as big, or probably even bigger at the end of the day, was the publicity that we generated for the movie. We feel like we are the smallest movie to have this large of a awareness about it now, that the publicity may have been worth even more. And when I say that the fans financed, or that we financed it on our own, that is largely true, but Warner Brothers has been great. Warner Brothers has a lot of money invested in this. It's not That's as great. Though they got a free movie for this. They will spend millions and millions of dollars. We had our audience test screening. They're making decisions about how we'll be marketed.
And how did that test screening go, Rob?
It went great, Chris. Thanks for asking. I live here in Austin. I've been commuting to LA for nearly 6 months, so every Monday morning I fly out, and so I've been in the editing room since the end of July. We can see the finish line from here.
It's a real testament to Rob's dedication to the Kickstarter fans. I mean, literally every single call sheet had all these disclaimers on it, like you can't tweet or Instagram any information. It has to go to the backers first. We literally had a producer on set, an associate producer on set named Ivan, whose job it was entirely to take care of the Kickstarter backers. And a number of backers were extras on the film. And so we get this heads up that like there's going to be 50 Kickstarter backers that are going to be background extras while we're shooting these scenes. And you know, you think like, and you know, and they're going to be wanting autographs and photos. And there was a part of me that was like, oh, is this going to be a complete disaster? Instead, what it did was it just made all of us doing the film. You know, you so quickly can be jaded, I feel like, in this business. Once you've actually gotten the job, you're like, I don't need this. This is like, we're working crazy hours. And to be surrounded by people who are so happy and flattered and inspired to be on a set and to be supporting you and to literally have given you the job. I mean, all it inspired you to do in between takes is just say thank you a lot.
Let's just say the Veronica Mars movie did well, like well enough to warrant another one, and we could make it with or without Kickstarter. I would be tempted to kickstart it again, like even like putting the goal $1, because I think, you know, if we'd done our job right, the people who did kick in for the movie felt good about the $35 they spent for a download and a script and a t-shirt, which I swear is on its way. And and that they would, someone got theirs? Yeah, all right, yes.
Yeah, finally.
I came home a couple weeks ago and my mom was like, where's my t-shirt?
Transitioning from television to the big screen, a Veronica Mars book series, and a harrowing shooting schedule.
I knew what the big arc of the movie was for Veronica. That's sort of where I began. I knew where I wanted her at the beginning. I knew where I wanted her at the end and the big decisions she would make. I certainly, if I erred in any direction, it was trying to bring back as many friendly faces as possible. I thought it would be fun. Again, this is one of those things where in a fan-funded movie, I'm going to try to bring all the dessert, possible. And so I know you saw already that in the movie, like, Veronica has a moment with Principal Van Clemens. Why? Because I thought fans would like it. One of the reasons I built it around a 10-year high school reunion was to give a graceful way so I wouldn't have to write a detective case that somehow everybody in Neptune has one clue. When we did the Kickstarter campaign and all this interest bubbled up, there was suddenly interest in doing a Veronica Mars paperback series, which the first book in that series will come out around the same time as the movie, and I'm working on that as well. And first of all, it'll pick up from the end of the movie. I would love for Veronica to replace Nancy Drew in pop culture. I think she had her run. And that I would like the wizened postmodern version to take off.
I think in general with any project, film or television, the captain of the ship is the director, and I think that you set the mood for this set. And so even though the crew, it's a union job, they're gonna go to something else, they just came off of something, they might leave halfway through. You know, we've all been on sets where the lead actor or the director is a complete asshole and everybody feels it and it's really tense, and I think, you know, Rob being as kind of kind as he is, and Kristen especially being just such a ball of light. You know, Kristen had a freaking newborn. I mean, it was like crazy that she was even there. And just their general energy and enthusiasm really, I think, just trickled down. I also remember the last night of shooting, Rob is so stressed out. We're getting to the end. We call for crew lunch. Rob literally comes. He sits down. He's about to eat food, and like 11 people just rain on him. Like, we need the costume set. We're losing light. Like, I literally remember being like, please just let me eat one bite of food. So they all back off, and he goes to take his bite, and then a freaking mariachi band comes on, playing the Veronica Mars "A Long Time Ago We Used to Be Friends" song, and it was just like, I just see your face being like, what a nice gesture. I'm going to die.
This is nothing but a funny story from the last night, and when we're all frayed and at the end of this thing, and we were shooting kind of on two sets. We were shooting an outdoor car scene, and then we were shooting all these little insert bits in a building nearby, and so I was having to bounce back from one to the other, and it's 3 or 4 in the morning, and I feel awful because we have kept Percy for hours for him to shoot a 10-second thing. Just, it's one shot we need from him, but I've been on the other set. And I get a couple, you know, radio calls saying, Percy wants to know, is it going to happen soon? And I think, oh, God, can you tell him it's still going to be a while, still going to be a while? And finally, 3 in the morning, I make it back over to the first set. And in the scene, it's an insert, really. He's just supposed to come in and turn off a projector, just rush into a room and turn off a projector. So we do a little rehearsal for the crew and for Percy. I show you'll just walk in, you'll come in this door and you'll hit that button. You should be pretty energetic. And he looks steaming mad. He just looks like, oh my God, I've pushed him too far. And he says, Rob, just shoot the rehearsal. Just shoot the rehearsal. I'm sorry, man. I know I'm in a bad mood. I just got a call and I have to get out of here, man. I have to get out of here. Like, whoa, okay. And I yell, action. Well, I'm going to back up. This is a great storytelling, Rob, but I'm going to back up. One thing, there was a projector that I had approved, a beautiful, you know, like it looks like a projector, and they had replaced it with this smaller projector, and I was saying, I don't understand what happened. And the DP came up to me and said, Rob, the light coming out of this thing, it's going to be beautiful. This is the one, you're going to love this one. I'm like, okay. So finally, I yell action, and Percy storms through the door carrying a baseball bat, and he just goes. And I'm staring at the monitor. Percy's there, and I do a slow turn over, like, am I seen? And I looked at the DP, and I'm really thinking, can we use that? But they had, unbeknownst to me, planned all this out. So I would be willing to bet that you will see that in your DVD bonus features. That was a fun moment.
That's amazing.
Kind of freaked me out.
Shooting a small budget studio film and picking up the thread of Veronica Mars 6 years later.
A studio film at $5.7 million is still dramatically lower than anything else. You know what I mean? And I think what's so crazy about the film is that you think like, well, $2 million will be a bunch of people in a house, but $5 million, explosions and you know, like hovercraft and stuff. And that's just not the case, you know? I do think, though, that it does feel bigger than we spent.
It's ambitious,
certainly.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was asked to work on Friday Night Lights, and I only use this as an example because what they did beautifully, and I love that show, I didn't miss any episodes, is they wrote very naturalistic dialogue. Those 17 and 18 year olds sounded like real 17 and 18 year olds, and I admire that. It's just not how I write. A movie that was, I think, made a big impression on me was the movie Heathers. Where it's very stylized dialogue that I let the characters say the things that if you're smart and got to think about it for a couple days, that's the line you would want to say rather than the more naturalistic approach. It's funny, in writing Party Down, I felt like it feels less stylized, the writing, because you believe smart, world-weary 30-year-olds talk like right. this. I think in Veronica Mars, a lot of the times, I let them talk like older, more jaded characters, so I don't think that I had to make that big leap. I think they will sound very familiar to you. I was talking about this with Enrico Colantoni when we were on set, and he had the funniest observation. I think it's going to be true someday when I let my daughter watch Veronica Mars. He said that for the first time, his teenage daughter is now watching the show, and she sort of looks at Keith on television, and then back to Enrico in real life, up to Keith. And he said, and she finds me such a disappointment.
We close with Rob Thomas talking about the challenges of writing a multi-layered mystery series as a teen show, breaking into the business as a writer, and his brush with Vince Gilligan.
What is hard is a mystery. It makes your brain hurt, and we had two of them going on at the same time because we would have our episodic mystery and then our 22-episode mystery. So juggling that was really hard, and I consider myself sort of a person who would write character stuff, who would write the more serialized stuff. I wrote Veronica Mars because I wanted to get a teen show on the air, not because I wanted to do a detective show. And then I hired a staff full of writers who I felt like were the same sort of character writers that I was. Shows with bigger staffs or that are geared a little differently, as I understand it, they have people who are like plot or mystery writers and they can combine forces. We were like idiots in there breaking mystery. Didn't come naturally to anyone. We would spend like 2 weeks breaking most Veronica Mars episodes. The writing was the fun part. Breaking mystery was really, really the hard part.
Sure.
Years ago, the way I learned how television is written, like what a TV script looks like, I was writing young adult novels for Simon & Schuster, and I wanted to make more money. And I got a job. HarperCollins hired me to write X-Files novelizations. And so the job was they would send me a VHS tape of an X-Files episode and a copy of the script, and I would turn that into a novel. And so that's how I learned what TV scripts look like. And I did three books all three of them written by Vince Gilligan. Years later, I had an overall deal at Fox, and I would walk across that lot, and I would walk by his office every day. And finally, I mean, the money I got paid on those books got me through lean years, and I finally knocked on his door, and he was so gracious, and he had all the books lined up in a bookshelf, and I had written them, I feel sad, but I had written them under my dog's names.
Austin Film Festival's On Story podcast is brought to you by Austin Film Festival, the City of Austin Cultural Arts Division, the Texas Commission of the Arts, and is made possible by a grant from the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services and the Texas Library and Archives Commission. Our executive producer is Barbara Morgan. Today's podcast was produced and edited by Brian Ramos. For more information on the podcast, On Story, the television show, and Austin Film Festival, go to onstory.tv or austinfilmfestival.com.